You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM in HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, the radio home of the Golden State Warriors.
We got an awful lot to talk about with John Morosi. Another column that I saw written in The Athletic by Jason Stark says, you know, one of the things that baseball could do to improve its regular season is to gussy up this postseason, which is moving at the pace of molasses. Yeah, the offseason, the postseason's just fine. Baseball's offseason, it's kind of a snooze. And this one in particular, which was supposed to give us some big names, big $300, $400 million payrolls, like nothing much is happening yet. And the answer is, the question is, why? The answer is to come from John Morosi, Fox Sports, MLB Network. John, it's great to have you on, man. Happy New Year.
Damon, Happy New Year to you, my friend. Thanks for always bringing me on to talk a little baseball, even here in the coldest month in the Midwest, my friend. It's great to be back on the show. I wonder how is everything going in the great town of Schenectady, New York these days as well?
Oh, they're cold and miserable. But that's like that kind of in July at times, so let's be honest.
John, I have to check in on the Union College skating Dutchman, Damon.
Wow.
That's part of my wintertime routine here as well.
There you go. If you're into ECAC hockey, you're definitely a John Morosi fan, and you've come to the right place. Bryce Harper is not signed. I don't get it. Like, I know the price tag is huge, but so's the talent, the attention that would come with it, the jersey sales, the fan interest. Why has he not signed?
Well, I think that first and foremost, as you say, the price tag is very high, and Scott Boras has in mind a number that he wants to hit, and I think until the offers hit that number, he is going to do everything he can to keep Bryce on the market until that happens. So I think first and foremost is the overall desire of Scott Boras to hit that number, and the second part is the desire of Bryce Harper to play for what he believes to be an iconic sports franchise in our country and indeed the world. And I think the Dodgers have some interest, but perhaps not at the level that Bryce wants. And other teams that have that same stature, the Yankees, for example, not really involved, according to what we can tell, and certainly not after today's signing of DJ LeMahieu. So it seems that the real iconic brands, if you will, that Bryce believes as being a good foundation for his own brand, are not as interested as he wants them to be, leaving him to choose from either going back home, so to speak, his professional home to D.C., or the Phillies or the White Sox, who have the resources to make a pretty compelling offer. So I think both in the case of Harper and Machado, Damon, they're presented with the somewhat unenviable situation of not having their best offer coming from the places that they really, really want to play. They're still going to be very wealthy young men, and generations of their families are probably going to be just fine affording university. But I think in general, they are probably not seeing their markets unfold as they had hoped and envisioned a couple months ago.
Look, the truth is, if you want to be baseball's first $400 million man, you're going to need the Yankees or Red Sox involved, and neither are. So it's probably not going to go there. Cubs, yes. We saw the Dodgers slash payroll, and you think that Harper is going to be the right fit. And like you said, it's a big brand. They both add up. Is Bryce Harper interested at all in the brand of the San Francisco Giants? Are the Giants with Zaidi interested in all at Harper? They just signed a deal with Oracle that would give them enough money to make a move like this.
Well, that's a great point about the new branding on the stadium and what that could mean for the club. And it's a great question, but I think in general, Damon, everything I've heard about the Giants' direction and plans this winter is that they are going to be very careful for the time being and try to hit their winning window a little bit down the line. I don't think they're going to do the full Houston Astros-style rebuild or even the Cubs. It's going to be more of an express rebuild, if you will, but it's not something that they're going to be able to do, I think, quickly. And so, to me, they believe that their chances, I think internally they'd probably tell you, their chances of winning the World Series in 2019 are not great. And I think that if you're in that spot, it's hard to invest a bunch of money, hundreds of millions of dollars potentially, in a player when you're not really sure what you've got internally in its entire picture. I think that's a key thing for a GM coming in, a new president of baseball operations, and Farhan Zaidi. Does he want his very first deal, the one that all of his tenure is really judged by to be a massive franchise transforming contract? And I think the answer there is no. So unless something dramatically has changed, Damon, I would be stunned if Bryce Harper became a San Francisco Giant.
The Giants were connected with DJ LeMahieu, like you said, officially off the market now, signing a two-year deal with the Yankees. So what does that mean for Joe Panik, John?
Well, it's a key question there, Damon, because Panik is someone who, of course, we saw be such a huge part of the Giants' championship in 2014. Injuries, specifically concussions, have sidetracked him a bit. I think that that report from Jeff Passan was very interesting about the possibility of signing LeMahieu and then moving Panik in a trade. I don't think the chances of Panik being dealt right now are especially high, just because there are so many free agent second basemen available. Even now, Josh Harrison is out there and available. You could still have Marwin Gonzalez playing over there as well. So while some of the signings the last 24 hours have been a little surprising in terms of their destinations, I'm not seeing the overall demand for second basemen reach a level where I think Panik has a good chance to be dealt. That to me, though, Damon, is, if I'm a Giants fan, I would be excited about that being something that they were considering, because that tells us that they still have flexibility to make some signings that are very tactical and targeted. LeMahieu ended up signing for about $12 million a year over 2 years, and I think pretty manageable terms for a club based on his overall track record, but the Giants still have the ability to be selectively aggressive in the market. And so that would have been, hey, I like the price tag right now for this particular player. I'm going to sign him. I'm going to trade away the guy that he's replacing and just worry about accumulating one good decision after another and build the roster that way. I think so. It was a very, while I don't think it's going to happen in terms of Panik being dealt, Damon, if I'm a Giants fan, I'm excited because it means that I've got a president of baseball operations thinking very imaginatively and creatively about the way to shape the roster going forward.
John Morosi, Fox Sports, MLB Network, and you certainly had an awful lot of people in the Bay Area buzzing with your report, I believe, on Monday of this week, linking Madison Bumgarner and the Milwaukee Brewers together. You've heard some interest being expressed on both sides of that equation. What can you tell us today?
Well, there's still staying in touch, Damon. I don't think that they're moving towards a deal right now. As I reported earlier in the week, I believe it's still the case that if Bumgarner is dealt this winter, Milwaukee is the most likely place. But I'm not prepared yet to say that it's a better than 50-50 chance that Bumgarner is going to be dealt this winter. I think it's still just as likely, in fact, that the Giants will begin the season with him in the rotation. They'll evaluate how he's looking, and probably, as long as they're not making a surprise run to the division championship, they'll probably put him on the market in June or July, at which point in time his postseason credentials will make him one of the more desirable, if not the most desirable,
pitcher out there. So probably the right way to play it, right?
For a lot of reasons, Damon, I look for Bumgarner to be in a different uniform come August 1st. It's just a question of whether or not the Giants can find that matchup in a deal right now in the next month, or if it's going to have to be closer to the trade deadline. I would say the fact there's not been a deal struck yet, if we get towards the end of January and there's still no deal, I think the chances are very, very high that Bumgarner is there in Scottsdale when the year begins, and then he's just going to be evaluated by a lot of scouts and a lot of clubs over the coming months, unless the Giants do something that none of us expect and actually contend for a playoff spot here this coming season.
I don't think it's good news for baseball, John, that maybe the biggest offseason story in baseball is that Kyler Murray now wants to play football. And this is what I was talking about before we even brought you on, that it's just time for baseball to throw its hat into the ring of how modern society works and operates. And it feels like baseball's very cool with letting, you know, the attention of the casual fan just drift away for weeks, if not months at a time. And that's not how people pay attention to things anymore. And baseball's off season is probably a big part of the reason why they drew 3 million fewer fans last season. Like, it wasn't the infield shift that bothered people. It was the nothing really happened to the team that I root for that bothered people.
Well, I think there's a lot of reasons, Damon, for that drop in attendance. And it's a real number. I mean, that is a real question. I think that a couple things there. I mean, number one, I would look at the overall landscape of the game and teams that went from being very competitive to now rebuilding, teams like Toronto, Detroit, and we've seen drops in attendance in those places, most notably, that kind of come to mind right away. I also think that teams, and I share your concern about what this pace of the offseason means for the overall quality and momentum of the sport. However, the Boston Red Sox signed J.D. Martinez after camp opened in February, and they won the World Series. And J.D. Martinez had a sensational season for them. He was one of my top three MVP players this year. And I think that so teams are looking around and saying, you know what? Hey, that worked. It worked for the Red Sox. Now it didn't work for a great many other teams and players. Lance Lynn signed. He wasn't ready. He didn't have a very good year. Alex Cobb signed late with Baltimore. He had a poor year, and they had to fire their GM and their manager. So it's I think that you're right that there are times when it doesn't work out, but it's worked out often enough, and it worked out for the Milwaukee Brewers making two big-time moves at the end of January last year, Christian Yelich in a trade and Lorenzo Cain in a signing, and they get to within one win of the World Series. So the holding the line, the very strict, objective way of building a club does not generate a lot of fan interest. It's not terribly exciting, but it is the current mode of clubs, and it's the current mode of successful clubs. And by the way, the Dodgers last year have been known for their very patient approach, and the Giants just hired one of the people who was the architect of that approach. So this method of thinking is spreading around the game, and unfortunately, as you point out, all the questions about Kyler Murray and excitement there and Russell Wilson going to spring training with the Yankees, unfortunately, to your point, those are two of the biggest baseball-connected stories of the week. It's unfortunate, but it's the reality until baseball finds collectively players and teams and the commissioner's office a better and more forward-thinking way to market these amazing young players who are coming into the sport.
If it were up to you, John, what would you do? You're in charge of marketing superstars to become household names. What's your first move?
Great question. It's such a multifaceted issue because the players are, Damon, I really believe that there's so much talk about, well, players don't want to be marketed and or they don't do the right things. They're doing a lot of the right things. They're active on social media. Andrew McCutchen, as you saw in San Francisco this past year, is hilarious on social media, very engaging. Hunter Pence, another great example. There's nothing wrong with the players' personalities. I think that in our country we are so football and basketball focused that there's probably, unfortunately, at this point in time from a baseball standpoint, a ceiling on how high we can get. I think that I would want to collectively get all the players around in a clubhouse and say, listen, we're going to stop hitting or throwing at players for flipping the bats and showing emotion. That, to me, is retrograde and something that we've got to get out of the sport, this whole notion of retribution, showing people up, quote-unquote, who cares. I want to see personality. I want to show, because when you think about it, Damon, this day and age, we've got all of our time is compressed now. Social media and our smartphones and everything else eat into the recreation time that we all have as human beings. And if you want to compete for that hard-earned recreation time that we all have, not a lot of it, you've got to do something that's inherently fun and joyful. That's what we need. And so I want to turn on the TV and see joy and fun and personality. None of this staid, old school, you've got to, quote unquote, respect the game. Celebrate the game. You've come from all around the world to play it. Bring your personality. Bring your culture. Let's see it on the screen. And that, to me, would make a much better product.
Time to appreciate the past, but not live in it for Major League Baseball.
Correct. Love it. Well said.
Awesome stuff. John Morosi, everything you say is so well said. Great to talk to you. And thanks for slipping in a Union College Dutchman reference.
You bet. The skating Dutchman there at Achilles Rink there on the beautiful campus of Union College. Gorgeous place. I love your hometown, David. It's always a pleasure talking with you. I'll let you know how Coach Harbaugh is doing in recruiting here when we next talk here from Ann Arbor, all right?
Sounds good to me. Thank you so much, John Morosi. Always a pleasure talking with him. Little Fox Sports MLB Network. Lots of stuff for baseball to be worried about this offseason and coming up. Again, they lost 3 million paying customers. I mean, I know baseball still made an awful lot of money last year, but that's a number that has to have the commissioner's office full attention. So let me ask you, and we will get back to the Warriors. We will 100% get back to the fact that we got divisional football coming up, but I do want to ask you, you're in charge of Major League Baseball's fun initiative, marketing initiative. How do you get players out front and center. Why is the freshman quarterback at Clemson more recognizable and popular today than 90% of the national or American League All-Star team? Seriously. It's amazing. It's amazing how baseball has let time go marching past it, watching other leagues take advantage of things that they continue to ignore. 888-957-9570. What would you do? What would you do to put 3 million more fans back into seats next year around Major League Baseball?
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Real quick from the Chilton Auto Body text line. Someone saying, Damon, how do you know that people are more know more about the Clemson quarterback than, say, Bryce Harper or Manny Machado? Prior to the national championship, I'd never seen or heard of him before. I think you're slightly exaggerating. I think that Trevor Lawrence right now is more recognizable than Mike Trout. And there is no scenario in which a guy that we just met on Monday should be more popular than the best living, breathing baseball player. I've also got this from a texter who signs it Struggling Millennial. Says, Damon, how do you get more fans into the stadium? How about allowing people to bring their own food and beverages? No one wants to pay $20 for a single alcoholic drink and $12 for a hot dog. No thanks.
That's one of the biggest reasons I think that a lot of people struggle. It's expensive.
Absolutely it is. All, you know, beyond the ticket and the parking or however you got to get there. It's an expensive afternoon to go to a baseball game for an awful lot of people. I would suggest that when you go into the baseball game, don't go in hungry.
No, eat before you go. That definitely will save you some cash.
Eat before you go. And then, you know, suck it up and buy a couple expensive beers. That's just the way it goes.
You want a beverage. My husband called while you were on with Morosi a moment ago because this topic always fires him up. He loves baseball. One of his biggest pet peeves is the fact that it's just not as technologically forward as all the other, you know, major sports are, like the NBA, the NFL. When you try to get on a, you know, baseball's app to watch a game, you can't even watch in-market games because of all the restrictions. And it doesn't seem like that's hurting the NBA or NFL's bottom line. I don't know why baseball can't conform to that. Maybe there's more to it. But,
right, but it's not as easy to just click, watch, and share as other sports have become.
On your phone. I mean, everyone has a phone and a tablet these days. Like, you should be able just to, you know, watch a Giants game easily. Or an A's game.
I think that's a part of it. I think that that's absolutely a part of the reason why 3 million fewer people went to baseball games last year. And I know for a fact, because I deal with it every day, that 3 million people aren't less of a sports fan today than they used to be yesterday. So what gives? I think what gives is that there are a lot of teams that just have no shot before the year even begins. I got a win total column right here by Caesars. I mean, it's amazing. You've got 13 teams that are expected to come in under 500. 13 different teams. In the middle of the pack, the teams that are between 88.5 and 83 wins, most of them are teams that only have regional appeal, if that at all. You know, Houston, again, very regional, but they're the model major league franchise and a World Series champ right now. So, you know, Houston, well, not defending, but they've won one recently. Houston, I think, is more interesting than just Houston would be interested in it. Then you got the Yankees, biggest brand in sports, basically, followed by the Red Sox, the Dodgers. Cleveland is an outlier coming in at 91.5. Then you got the Cubs. After that, you've got the Cardinals. Then after that, it's Washington, Tampa Bay, Atlanta, Minnesota, and no one cares about those teams who doesn't live there. That's just how it works. I'm sorry. It's the truth. We come on out to you, 888-957-9570. You're in charge of fixing baseball's image problem with its decline in attendance. How would you go about fixing it? Mike in Oakland. How are you, Mike? You're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, how's it going, guys? So really quick, Damon, before we get into this MLB talk, I do have a question for Gianna, if I could ever ask her.
Real fast, what do you got?
All right, really quick, Gianna. I heard a couple weeks ago on the news when I was down in Anaheim that before the playoffs started for the NFL, that there was talk that maybe if the Chargers were to get home field advantage for a game, that it might be petitioned to be played at Qualcomm. Also, I heard if they were to go all the way and win, that the parade and celebration would be held in San Diego, or there's a petition for that. How do you feel about that?
I mean, that would be very cool, but it's not going to happen. And I've heard rumblings about that as well, just because my family and a lot of friends are still down there. I mean, I think it would be cool for the fans, but a lot of them have already turned on San Diego.
So zero chance, none chance.
It's not going to happen, though. And I mean, it's just, they're just rumors.
Mike, unfortunately, you wasted your precious amount of time with that question. We do have Brian Baldinger coming up in 5 minutes. But that's just stupid.
It's just not going
to
happen.
Stupid, stupid, stupid.
No.
The NFL couldn't give a damn about a single feeling in the city of San Diego. Never again. Nick Berkeley, how would you fix baseball?
Man, I would get creative with the tickets, like maybe, you know, buy five for the price of three, or have a two for one night. Have like a Little League night where you invite all the local Little League teams out. I would lower concessions a little bit. Maybe have like two for one hot dogs or something like that. And then try to find a way, man, to make the players be more accessible to sign autographs and stuff, because people want to sell autographs, but the more autographs they sign, the less it's worth. So if you got those guys out there, you know, being more like, you know, in touch with the public, because I think there's a disconnect between the fan and the players, man. We just see them on the field, and you never, you know, just to meet them and say hi and get their autograph and with your kid means a lot to fans, man. I think that'll go a long way.
I think those are all good ideas, Nick. There are a lot of teams that do implement many of those ideas that it is right now. I mean, every single team's got a Little League Day and all these kids coming in wearing their uniforms.
Yeah.
And I love Little League Day. It's one of my favorite days to be at the ballpark. There's good energy in it, and it just feels like a fun day. But, you know, when it comes to making it less expensive, I'm just going to tell you that there's nothing that interests Major League Baseball in that. Major League Baseball would like to shake you for every single penny, dime, and dollar that you have in your pocket. So the concept of less expensive, yes, it's very approachable, but it's kind of unrealistic. Eric, San Jose, thank you very much for the call. Eric, how are you?
Hey, Damon. Hey, John. How you guys doing?
Excellent.
I think one of the biggest things that is kind of the issue right now is that you have teams, like you guys said, the previous caller said, is that there's teams that are rebuilding, and they don't really have that mass appeal. If the Red Sox are playing the Yankees, I mean, they have their story timelines. But if you play a team that's really competitive and your team is on the cusp of being competitive, people are going to want to go see that. And just when we're coming into the season, there's a lot of teams that aren't really appealing, and they're losing a lot of fans. And I think, you know, as an A's fan myself, it was really exciting to see this team going on the line and to play teams that we were possibly going to see in the postseason. And so on days that I think that they aren't going to be able to play a team that's competitive, I agree. They should lower prices like what the A's did, have concessions with the A's access and stuff like that. And I think engaging with the fans on an economic level, I think, is a good way to start.
Yeah, and like the whole concept of dynamic ticket pricing shouldn't just mean you get to, you know, just soak me for the massive amount of dollars when the, you know, when it's a Giants-Dodgers game on a Saturday. It should mean it's a lot cheaper to get in here on a Tuesday night against the Devil Rays.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, drop the devil. They're just the Rays
just
now.
The Rays.
I tell you, all these damn name changes. It's too much to keep track of. This is Chris calling from Pennsylvania. What's going on, Chris?
Not much, man. I miss the Bay Area, so every once in a while I have to parachute in. So,
I appreciate that.
The Deep Bruce, I got to be in on it. Painfully so, I don't think there is really a one-word answer to this problem. I think baseball has always been a regional sport. It had its national appeal once upon a time when it was controlled, when people didn't have a choice, when it was like the only thing on. It was the only thing going on during the summer. It was the only thing going on during the fall or whatever, during the weeknights. So I think, and since nostalgia seems to be in a lot of other areas in pop culture and everything, I think that baseball really needs to turn back the clock in terms of not the personality thing, because I think the personality thing, what your first guest said, was right on. Like, you need to stopping these guys from flipping bats and being who they are. That's why Bryce Harper is a big deal, because people like his attitude. But I think the father-son appeal of taking your, you know, being able to go to a doubleheader every weekend and that type of thing, I think those are the types of things that need to happen so baseball can embrace its heritage, so to speak.
Yeah, you know, again, appreciate your past, but don't live in it. Thank you very much for the call. Jake Alameda, you get to fix baseball. What's your first move?
Well, my first move is I'm going to, you know, you got to just, I was basically going to say that Lawrence is more popular than Michael Trout because Mike Trout is boring. That's what my biggest thing is. Trout has nothing. I mean, if you look at him, why would fans even bother to go pay money to see Trout? There's nothing going on there.
Well, I mean, nothing going on except the actual sport of baseball, which he plays better than anyone playing the sport of baseball. So if you were going to go and watch the game that day to watch a guy hit home runs, hit for contact, hit for power, throw the ball like a dart everywhere and have an incredible glove, like that might be a player you're interested in.
But he doesn't do it so much better than every other player that the fans are going to be like amazed and say, "Oh, I got to go watch him. I'm going to go pay $300 to sit there for 4 and 5 hours and see." And maybe the one team will have 5 hits, the other team will have 3 hits. And, oh, wow, Mike Trout was so amazing. I mean, he's better. To us fans, he's that much better. But to the regular fan, it's not that much better. I mean, he's not super. He's not flying.
Right,
not
look. Like, for, right.
Water.
I'll give you that. Like, regular fans, the casual fan, half the time they can't even name the guy in the batter's box. To be totally honest with you, if you turned around to just about anybody and say, who's at bat right now? They'd have to check the scoreboard for the most part. People have trouble paying attention. And unfortunately, baseball is a pay-attention sport. It really is. You got to appreciate the situation as it's being set up. It's not all this razzle-dazzle, spectacular action to entertain you. You got to appreciate nuance, and we don't do nuance very well in 2019.
No, we don't pay
attention. Certainly not on social media. Hey, we will get back to your calls. We got a lot of people who want to weigh in on this. Look at us doing baseball right in the middle of the damn offseason.
Hey, now.
Feels good. I do love me some baseball. I also love me some playoff football. And we got playoff football being served up to us in all kinds of fun ways this weekend from NFL Network. Our good friend Brian Baldinger joining us again at BaldyNFL is where you want to follow him on Twitter. You will learn about this game and who is good at it through his Baldy breakdowns. Brian, great to have you on again, man. How are you?
I'm doing great, Damon. Really good. I'm like everybody else, pretty fired up for what could be, you know, the best week of football all season.
All right, let's just jump right in.
Yeah,
you can bet on, you bet on one team to survive this weekend. You bet on one team to go home. Who's the one team you think definitely moves on? Who's the one team you definitely think is in trouble?
I would say the one team that is going to definitely move on will be the Saints, and that's no knock on the Eagles and what they have done, but I think the Saints are a really good football team in every area, and I think they'll play like it come Sunday afternoon. And then the one team, I guess, that I could say, you know, I'd be a little worried about right now would be the Rams. I think Dallas showed everybody last weekend how they can defend the run. It's a big part of what the Rams wanted to do, no matter how healthy, you know, Todd Gurley is, and it looks like he's going to go pretty good, but I believe in that team's defense right now.
You know, we were looking at what would you like to use to make an opinion? You want to use the entire year or just a portion of it to form an opinion? If you use the entire year, it's very easy to say that the Chiefs are better than the Colts. But if you just want to look from week five on, there might be no team better than the Colts in all of football. What do you think happens at Arrowhead this weekend in a game that I thought would be easy to handicap? It's not at all.
No, it isn't. It isn't because of what you just said. I mean, you know, the Colts were 1-5, and I've been 1-5 in Indianapolis before. And we won 8 of our last 10, and they didn't quite get there. They won 9 of their last 10, and they went to Houston twice and so and won. And they were the division winners. So I don't think any team in the league's defense improved more in the last 11 weeks than the Indianapolis Colts, to where they're a really good defense right now. And they play really fast, and they play really hard. That combined with an offense line that protected their quarterback, Andrew Luck, better than any other team in the league, proved that again last week in Houston in the noise against J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney, and kept them upright just about the entire day. And I think that every time I write a note, when I watch the Colts, Damon, I keep writing the same note. And I keep writing, boy, they're a well-coached football team. I never see them over the last 10 weeks just beat themselves, where they just do dumb things or dumb penalties or make critical errors or bad coaching. I just don't see it when I watch that team.
It's amazing that they had to go with a second choice at head coach all the way around. I mean, sometimes it's good to be a second choice, isn't it?
Well, I mean, in this case, it is. I mean, Frank's done a masterful job with a lot of coaches that he probably wouldn't have hired. But, you know, sometimes things work out, you know, and they certainly have. But I think that, you know, I don't think any team drafted better. You'll see a ton of rookies out there playing tomorrow, prominent roles for the Colts. They don't look like rookies anymore. They never hit the rookie wall. They're just really good players right now, and they count on them. It doesn't matter if it's, you know, Quentin Nelson or Darius Leonard or Nai Hines. I mean, just go through the list of rookies, Braden Smith, that are playing a prominent role for the Colts. They grew up real fast, and it's a credit to, you know, the front office and to the coaching.
Brian Baldinger, NFL Network, here on 95.7 The Game. Phillip Rivers is 0-7 against the Patriots. This is the best team Phillip Rivers has ever had around him. Do they go into Foxborough and surprise us by being by coming out with a win?
Well, I think that, you know, it's the best Charger team that the Patriots have faced. So, I mean, whatever's happened in the past. I mean, if Chargers go in there, they've gone into Pittsburgh and won. They've gone into Kansas City and won. They've gone into Baltimore and won. I mean, they've knocked off all the great teams in the AFC for the most part, all in the last 5 weeks. So, I mean, sure, on that flight home from Baltimore, they felt pretty good about what they did, how they played, the game plan they came up with to stop a really lethal rushing attack. And the one question that, you know, they have to have in their minds all the way through the first quarter of the game is, what are the Patriots going to do that we haven't seen yet? Because they're going to do something or some things different that they haven't shown all year. That's who they are. So they have to be prepared, whether it's, who knows, it could be something taking their backs out of the passing game, or it could be, you know, not letting Keenan Allen off the line of scrimmage. I mean, it might be, who knows what it's going to be. But they're going to have some game plan that they haven't revealed yet, and it's up to the Chargers to adjust.
What do you think is going on in Pittsburgh? What the hell happened between Art Rooney and Antonio Brown? And if you're the Niners or the Raiders, how bad do you want Antonio Brown on your roster?
Well, I mean, do you think you can change his spots? You know, because he didn't in Pittsburgh. He was the league's best wide receiver for a number of years and rewarded as one, but yet couldn't really conduct himself as a great teammate. Great player, not a great teammate. And so it's toxic in Pittsburgh. The owners even come out and said, we don't think we can fix this. So he's looking for a suitor. Now, it's going to be expensive. You're going to get a great player, but he's going to be 31 next year. So how much longer does the greatness last? And if he doesn't get the ball or isn't a part of the game plan, or somebody else, George Kittle in San Francisco, is a bigger star, can he handle it? Because it didn't look like he could handle it pretty well in Pittsburgh.
Brian, you get to fly all over the country. You are usually in an NFL stadium every Sunday. Most people need to know that you're usually in a college stadium every Saturday. I have to ask you, did you do an Oklahoma Sooners game this year? And if you did, when you were watching Kyler Murray, did you think you were looking at an NFL prospect?
It's the first year I didn't do an Oklahoma game. I did a bunch when Baker was there and when Lincoln took over. But I didn't do an Oklahoma game this year. But I do think Kyler Murray is an NFL quarterback. And whether he forgoes his baseball career, which I don't think he's going to do just yet. I mean, if I was in the draft room and I was looking at a few extra fifth or sixth round picks, I mean, I'd draft him this year and just hold his rights and see if one day he decides to come out. I mean, the Cowboys did that with Roger Staubach prior to him serving his time in the United States Naval Academy. And it turned out to be a great deal. So I would use a pick on Kyler Murray this year, and I think he could play. If Russell Wilson, the only knock on him coming out of Wisconsin and North Carolina State was that he was too short, well, he showed you what short's all about. And if they're going to say the only knock on Kyler Murray right now is that he just isn't tall enough, then I can find you plenty of players that have been that size that have been great players, whether it's Doug Flutie or whatever. So I would draft him. And I would just wait and see when he wants to come play football, because I think he wants to play.
I was trying to think, who's the last guy who won a Heisman and chose another professional sport? It's got to be Charlie Ward, right?
Probably Charlie, yeah. Play for the Knicks. So I think that was like 1993 or something like that. And he never really looked like he had any great regrets about it. But I think Kyler Murray has too much fun playing football. I mean, if you just go back and just YouTube him playing high school football in Allen, Texas, and just watch what he looked like. Sometimes you got to watch these kids when they were just kids just to see just how much better they were than everybody else. And then you see them just evolve through the college game and sitting out a year and playing a year and transferring and all that. And then you just see him dominate college football the way he did. I mean, I think he has what it takes to be really great. And look, the fact is that what Lamar Jackson did this year, and I'm not trying to compare Kyler to Lamar. They both won the Heisman. But I would say that Baltimore is ready to move on to Lamar Jackson. People will tell you, well, he can't throw it good enough. Well, the NFL can only take what the college game gives you. If they're giving you Lamar Jackson and Kyler Murray at quarterback, then you'd be stupid not to take him and try to make it work.
We've seen a few coaching vacancies filled with a couple guys who have been around the block and know what they're doing. It's nice to see Vic Fangio getting a first shot at being a head coach with Denver. Bruce Arians is going to be back in the game with Tampa Bay. There are some head scratchers here, though. There really are. And it seems like if you had ever been to lunch or shook hands with Sean McVay, you at least got an NFL interview to be a head coach. Cliff Kingsbury, if you wanted a former Texas Tech head coach, why wouldn't you just hire Mike Leach?
I actually thought about that today, Damon. Like, just go to the guy that started the Air Raid and put out all these other coaches that have run it or some facsimile of it. Yeah, I agree with you. Just go to the guy. But I guess they want youth on their side, or the guy that just has coached, you know, Patrick Mahomes.
He's a handsome devil. That always helps.
Yeah. I mean, look, you always look at the resume and, you know, who. And so, I mean, but look, I like Cliff, and I've been around Cliff a lot over the last 5 years. Sat down with a lot of meetings with them and watched him draw plays for me and watched him coach. But the idea that the coach is coming in to, quote unquote, fix the quarterback is just silly. It's just a silly. I mean, you coach the quarterback, but you coach 53 other guys every day. And, you know, you get 46 guys ready to come out of the tunnel this weekend in a playoff game. That's you coach the whole group. And then when you walk into the building that you work in, there's 500 other people that are looking for inspiration from you every day. So it is so much more than making sure that the quarterback has a good offense, that knows what he's doing, knows what his third down checks are. I mean, it's a ton more than that. So I hear all of this chatter about what Cliff is supposed to do with Josh Rosen. I think it's kind of silly. I mean, he's got a monster task in front of him. They were a horrible football team this year. They need a lot of help in a lot of places.
Always great to talk with you, man. Are you getting on an airplane this weekend?
I'll be on an airplane at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning to the Big Easy. And I will be down there on the field at 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon watching these two teams, the Eagles and Saints, get ready.
Is there anything in your experience that explains Nick Foles? Or is it just magic? I mean, what's the deal here?
No, actually, it isn't magic, Damon. It just isn't. I mean, it is quarterback play at its best. It's throwing the ball with anticipation, with accuracy. It's movement in the pocket, not to show off being the best athlete on the field, but just to be efficient. And all those things, I mean, his throws into the shark cage of defenses and into spots that are as big as a postage stamp or one after another. You can make a highlight reel in every one of these games of how he's playing the game.
It's really amazing. He is now 3-0 when trailing in the second half of playoff games over the last two postseasons. All other quarterbacks
ice water
combined are 4-15.
He doesn't feel it. He just doesn't.
It's amazing. Hey, always great to talk to you. Have a great trip to the Big Easy. Get yourself a po' boy and be happy about it.
I'll be happy, period. I look forward to it. I'll talk to you next week. You got it.
You got it, brother. Thank you so much. That's our good friend, Brian Baldinger, NFL Network, 95.7 The Game contributor, and he is going to have a little fun in New Orleans. There's no doubt about that. That is a great game. You cannot put a football game in a better town than putting a football game in New Orleans. It is the best. I see by the clock on the wall, it's time for a little 5 before 5. Let's do that next. And then everyone who is on hold will join us shortly after that here on 95.7 The Game.
Some things you need to know. Some things you want to know. It's 5 before 5 on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. We're about to slip into our 5 o'clock hour, in which case we're going to go back to the phones to talk to a lot of people. It's so funny. You always think, like, I wonder if this topic will work today at this time. And a lot of people want to talk about baseball and what baseball needs to do to fix its image, its branding, its marketing. And we will get back to you in just a little bit. We'll also get you're more focused on a little Warrior basketball tonight. They got a 10-win Chicago Bulls team in town. But all that needs to be put into the sidecar, because right now, driving the motorcycle, the one and only Gianfranco, with a little headline, deadline, and stories that slip through the cracks. 5 before 5.
And we are brought to you by the California Academy of Sciences. Since it is raining this weekend, great weekend to take the family. Go enjoy Claude the Alligator and all that
stuff. Got a 5-pack to give away right now.
We do. Let's do it. Let's do it right now. 5-pack. We got a lot of calls, though. Should we wait a few minutes? Or?
Yeah, no, there's one open line.
So all right.
The first person to ring line number 4.
You're going to get a 5-pack to the California Academy of Sciences.
888-957-9570. You get a 5-pack to the California Academy of Sciences. Penguins for everyone.
Number 1.
And Clyde the Albino Alligator, which is my favorite. Okay, so we've got the divisional games coming up for the NFL this weekend. We'll have it here on 95.7 The Game. So if you're out and about, you can listen.
That's right. We're your home of the NFL playoffs.
We certainly are. So let's just run down a couple of these games, or we'll do all 4. Colts at Chiefs. Point spread right now is KC -5.
Yeah, so wait. So let me pull out one piece of paper, because we're going to talk about fading the public here right now. So Kansas City -5. 53% of the public is on the Colts +5. Kansas City -5, only 47% of the public is on that. You got to fade the public there. Again, the 7-1 theory is very much alive with our Kansas City Chiefs. So let's see the Chiefs get out of that game. I believe for Andrew Luck and the Colts, the great story has to eventually end. And I think it ends at Arrowhead. I really do.
Really?
I would not be shocked to see the Colts survive, but I kind of want the, what I'm calling the points slut Super Bowl. I think I want Rams Chiefs Super Bowl. That Monday night game, I'm a point slut in that game on that night. Normally I like a little defense. Not that night.
Not that night, yeah.
Not that night. I wanted to lay there and take it. And the points were awesome. And I think I'd have a lot of fun with that in the Super Bowl. So I'm rooting for point slut Super Bowl, which means I need the Chiefs to survive.
To advance. Okay. Well, we'll see if that happens. That game at 1 o'clock, by the way, kicking things off here for everything. And again, we'll have it here on 95.7 The Game. Cowboys at Rams. Point spread there, Rams at -7.5.
Yeah. 51% of the public is still taking the Rams, laying a touchdown. And I will, too, only because there's the Super Bowl that I want. I've also thought that Dallas Cowboy has ridden way too high. I know that the world loves the Cowboys. I don't live in that world. To me, the Cowboys are the Tennessee Titans. I'm not enamored by the star on the side of the helmet. I do like a good defense and a good running game. I think the Rams are better. I think the Rams win.
So your Rams...
Like I said, my point slot Super Bowl is alive.
All right, Sunday's games. You got Chargers at the Patriots up first. Point spread there, New England -4.
I know. I will not be betting on the Phillip Rivers.
You're not going to try it.
On the road.
Mike Silver seems to think they're going to advance.
I know. Until Tom Brady gets bounced at Foxborough in the postseason after a bye, until that happens, I'm not betting on it. Watch the Patriots find a bag of tricks against the San Diego Chargers.
They've done so well on the road, though.
I know they're not the San Diego Chargers.
They're not the San Diego Chargers, the Los Angeles Chargers, but the names. You know.
I know.
We know that.
I'm still rolling with Brady. I'm sorry.
I don't like it, but I'll let you have it. All right, last game of the day on Sunday will be Eagles at Saints. Point spread there is New Orleans -8.
64% of the betting public likes the Eagles +8. You know, I think I like the Eagles +8, but I like the Saints to win the game. I think the Saints find enough offense and get it going again, and it's actually a low-scoring game. I think we have a low-scoring game, and watch the Eagles cover but not win. I like New Orleans.
They're saying matchup quality, one of the best games this weekend is going to be that Chargers-Patriots game with a 76.5 out of 100.
Ooh, so, I love 76.5 out of 100.
It's not a bad rating right there.
That's a nice matchup score, whatever the hell that is. It's like, matchup score sounds like something you check out on Tinder. What's your matchup score?
Number two.
And it's so wet outside with all the rain, so it's a perfect day to sit inside and watch NFL all weekend long.
Oh, I will swipe left on the outdoors.
100%. All right, back-to-back NBA Finals MVP Kevin Durant has been knocked out of the Western Conference starting five, Damon, in the most recent fan voting for the All-Star Game. Oklahoma City's Paul George has surpassed Durant in the West starting five. George joins LeBron, Luka Doncic, and the conference's front runner or for the front court with Minnesota Timberwolves guard Derrick Rose and Golden State Warriors guard Stephen Curry in the back court.
Look, Kevin Durant.
That surprise you?
Kevin, yes. It surprises me on it surprises me because leaving Kevin Durant out of the starting five of an All-Star team is just it's being done for spite, and knowing how much spite there is towards him, I guess I'm not surprised. But how about this? Any single player that starts ahead of Kevin Durant, if the Warriors called and said, would you like to trade that player for Kevin Durant? The other team would do it at the speed of light, and the Warriors would never do it. And I do like Luka. I do. I want Luka to be on the team, but starting ahead of Durant is too much. Paul George, I think that's a little too much.
I think so, too. James, by the way, LeBron leads all players in most recent totals, followed by Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Nice.
So not even Steph, though. Steph's like right. Well, I guess you do your East versus West. So.
Yeah, but a way to crush that last name. You really nailed it.
Dude,
right
I
there.
Practiced that. Just say it occasionally in the updates.
Number three.
Sorry about this, but I had to share this because he was on the Today Show today. Chicago Bears kicker Cody Parkey.
Chicago.
Says he still feels horrible after the game and how everything played out with the field goal in the playoffs for the Bears. 26-year-old appeared on the Today Show this morning and said he still can barely believe all of that happened, that he missed that 43-yarder against the Eagles with time winding down in the fourth quarter. Here's what he had to say because he's been pretty silent on social media.
Chicago!
I didn't know it was tipped or anything. I just went down and I thought I hit a pretty good kick, you know, felt good off my foot, and then looking up and then I saw it hit the upright and I hit the crossbar and I'm like, surely it'll go in. unfortunately bounced towards me, but obviously I'm disappointed. I let the fans, my teammates, and the whole organization down, but I'll continue to keep my head held high because football is what I do. It's not who I am.
And apparently the hate online has been ruthless. Damon, he says he hasn't been on social media because of that. And trust me, if anyone feels bad, he feels bad.
Can I jump in
here?
No
question. Yes,
can I jump in here?
Come on in.
Get the hell off the Today Show. Set up a practice tee and get to practice, young man. I don't want an apology tour. Let me go on a media blitz. You missed the kick, you bum. You will be a bum until you hit a kick that puts Chicago into the postseason, and that's the way it works. You wanted to be a professional athlete? Here it is, pal. Here it is. Kicker shouldn't say a word, even if they make the kick. You're a kicker. Shut up.
You know, everyone has a bad day at the office. Sometimes it happens in a very important game. And he feels bad.
Oh, does he feel bad?
Yes, I feel for him.
I felt bad, too.
You weren't on the field. You did not miss that kick.
Yeah. But you know what he gets to do? He gets to go home and cry on a pillow that's as thick as $3 million.
Well, that's not his fault. That's the choice he made. Don't get mad at him for that.
You're a kicker.
Which apparently is not a bad position.
That field goal was a freaking layup to a professional kicker.
And technically it was tipped.
Whatever.
Dang, Chicago fans are ruthless.
No, I'm sorry.
Ruthless.
Get the hell off the Today Show talking to Kathy Lee and Coda about, I'm crying on the inside. Screw you, Parkey. Hit your field goals.
And he was very sincere, too. Like, you could tell. Like,
he sincere? Yes. You know what? I'm sincere. Screw you. Hit your field goals. He's a kicker. You know what you do with kickers who can't hit field goals? You cut them and you never think about them again. You bring in a next guy. Robbie Gould hits that kick a million times, and then he doesn't go on the Today Show. That's why I like Robbie Gould.
Because he makes that kick, no doubt. The one, like, I felt kind of bad for him because TMZ caught him in another video. And at the end, the photographer from TMZ is like, well, that's if you're a Bear next season. Hopefully we'll see you suit up. I was like, oh, that sucks.
He's going to be mercilessly booed.
You know what?
Until there's a playoff win. That's just the way it goes.
I'm going to root for him. I hope he holds his head up high and turns it around next season. He will.
Number four.
IR.
All right. Knicks big man Enes Kanter will occasionally tweet photos about what he's eating on his cheat days. everyone has a cheat day now and then, but he eats a lot on his cheat days. This latest is were cheeseburgers. Apparently, he likes sweets as well. So he went out to eat. He had 7 hamburgers and a ton, like a tray full of French fries. It was crazy. And these weren't just everyday regular hamburgers. 3 of them were triple double somethings,
right,
with egg.
Fried eggs on them. I actually saw a little bit of this video, and it looked like he was about to scarf, man. He was about to seriously mow down some burgers.
And he did. He ate all 7 burgers plus all the French fries. And surprise, surprise, he was not feeling great the next day and had to excuse himself from practice.
Here's the thing. Like, I totally subscribe to the fat boy moment, binge-worthy moment. Like, I've done it myself at times. But 7, like, now you're performing for the camera. There's no way you sat down to eat 7 hamburgers. Nobody sits down to eat 7 hamburgers on anything other than an I'm trying to get attention or a dare.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot for anyone.
It is.
Unless you're trying to win a lot of money or, yeah, like there's some specific reason. It's not just because you're that hungry.
Someone's desperate for attention. You should have stopped at 5 cheeseburgers and you would have been better at practice the next day.
Well, 5,500 calories is what that meal was.
That alone?
Alone, those right 7 there. Burgers and the pound of French fries, 5,500 calories.
You know what would be great? If Cody Parkey worked off about 5,500 calories because he was practicing his field goals so hard.
Ba-dum-bum. The Knicks put fake burgers in Cantor's locker to clown him for eating way too much and missing practice when he came back the next day.
Yeah, first of all, like missing, I would not be cutesy with that. I would fine his ass thousands of dollars. You ate yourself off the practice court?
Well, I mean, it could have been something else that made him sick. We can't say that it's 100% because he overate.
No, it's 100% because you eat 7 cheeseburgers.
Maybe he had a flu bug for 24 hours.
And the next day, you're like, oh, I got the trots. I wonder why.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot. But he's known to do this. There was a recent picture of him, I think, on his Twitter page, where he had just mountain of sweets, like chocolate and cookies and candies, and he scarfed it all down, apparently.
That's his thing.
Number 5.
All right, check this out. 50 years following the most legendary festival in the history of music and 20 years following the most infamous festival in the history of music, Woodstock.
Yes.
It's coming back. It's making a return once more. They're hoping to slate it for August 16th, 17th, and 18th in New York. The original 400,000 people showed up to celebrate music, love, peace, and all that good stuff. No official announcement on headliners, but there are rumors that the Foo Fighters and Pearl Jam, maybe some of the headliners, but they're going to have up to 40 performers, and they've already been booked across the country. All the information's coming out in February. Are you in?
I won't be going. No, I'm not in going, but I'm not anti going ahead to get another, you know, modern Woodstock. I like a music festival as much as the next guy.
It's our 50th anniversary, which is cool.
Go ahead and have yourself some fun. I remember the 25th anniversary of Woodstock concert was a huge deal, and I remember that because it was the summer that my family left upstate New York to move to Indiana, and I think, all right, I would have absolutely been had we not just moved to Fort Wayne, Indiana. So that is, I was like angry that I couldn't go to the 25th. So maybe I've been a little down on Woodstock ever since. The only thing I can tell you is that there's one thing that was true at the original Woodstock. It'll be true at this Woodstock. Don't eat the brown acid.
Okay, there's your word of advice.
Little
and
tip.
Apparently there was a porta potty issue too in the last one. So they got that all fixed.
There's porta potty issues, I think, at pretty much all outdoor music festivals. And we'll just leave it right there. Thank you so much for hanging out with us 2 hours. We got another one coming up. It's going to be worth your time to stick around if you've been patient, if you've been on hold. If you want to talk a little baseball, we're going to get into that. But we're starting our hour, obviously, with what's coming up at Oracle Arena tonight.